Silicon Valley's congressman says the government should be calling on big tech to fight COVID-19. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Microsoft has created a chatbot that can help assess COVID-19 symptoms. The CDC is using that. Apple has designed and is shipping a new type of face shield for healthcare workers. IBM is loaning supercomputing power to scientists and universities trying to understand the spread of the coronavirus. And tech billionaires, ranging from Bill Gates to Jeff Bezos to most recently Jack Dorsey, have pledged donations to food banks and other resources supporting people through the pandemic. But should companies be taking on roles that governments could be playing? And more importantly, is our government prepared to actually use the tech industry effectively to combat this crisis? Congressman Ro Khanna represents Silicon Valley in the House of Representatives. He says there is still a lot of untapped potential.
Apple just has helped with procuring 20 million masks and face shields. Tesla is, of course, producing ventilators. Google is trying to get information out. But there are a few other things that we could be doing if we listen to them. First, we could be enlisting some of these tech companies to get the money out faster. I mean, Paul Krugman had a great column about how the money isn't getting to the people who need it. Let's have a national database that's crowdsourced for the COVID crisis, where we can use AI to draw conclusions. We don't have something like that. People in the Valley could do that. Let's get a platform that can help for telehealth. Again, that's something that Silicon Valley could contribute to. And then we need far more funding. If there's one thing this crisis has told us, far more funding for basic science research on vaccines and developments in antivirals. And a lot of people in University of California, San Francisco, and other places in the Valley could assist with that.
So what does it take for that to happen? Are you saying that those companies should step up and offer that, or that they should be asked to do that, or both?
That they are offering. In some cases, it requires a coordinated response. Yeah. I mean, part of me wishes that just for this period, Bill Gates were president. I mean, if Bill Gates were president, he basically warned about all of this in 2015, and he would convene all of the people in a room and say, here's what I need you to do. And he understands science and technology. But if you don't have a understanding and appreciation for science and technology, you're not harnessing all of the tools that actually are accessible.
So do you have a sense from talking to these companies at all that they're just like itching to get in here and they're not being called?
It's worse than that. They're offering things and aren't being taken up for their offers. One of the entrepreneurs designed an ingenious platform to allow hospitals to signal whether they need medical equipment and allow people to supply them. And they haven't been able to get this implemented. You've had people saying, let us help with creating a national database, or let's help with telehealth. And I applaud them for that. But what we need is a far more technologically sophisticated response. And the irony is we've seen that response in places like South Korea and China. Now, they've had problems. I mean, they became almost surveillance states. And I'm not recommending that we adopt sort of surveillance technology. But we should know what technology can do and then harness that while recognizing and respecting people's privacy.
Right. The same concerns over privacy have always been there. And in some cases, you know, surveillance and data collection may be expanded by what feels like necessity. Do you think some of those concerns go by the wayside now?
No, I think those concerns are there. I mean, I would not want us to have a situation like South Korea or China, where you have cameras and smartphones monitoring my movement. So when I go out, the government knowing whether I'm violating social distancing rules. I think that's way too intrusive. And I certainly wouldn't want my health records going to the government or other entities. But do I have a problem with data going and being anonymized and then having a sense of whether Washington, D.C. as an aggregate is sheltering in place correctly or not, and where we may need greater policies? No, I think that's very useful. So what I would say is let's use data in a constructive way. Let's have the guardrails for privacy. But right now, I think you have two extremes. You have some countries using it as a surveillance state. And then unfortunately, in our country, we're not using it well enough.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about another debate that started in your district. A lot of the gig workers who are independent contractors. I know the CARES Act includes some benefits for these workers, but as we see how essential delivery has become, this infrastructure kind of was created in Silicon Valley. But what else could the government be doing to protect these workers?
Well, it's a great point. These workers need to be making a lot more and need to have more economic security. I mean, the one thing this has taught us is for all of the remote work, there are a lot of laborers who do physical work to support it. We still need people who keep the internet running, who keep our groceries being delivered, who keep transportation lines open, who keep electricity flowing. And there are almost 60 million Americans who are still going to work despite all the shelter in place. So obviously, I think the government has a role to make sure that we extended unemployment insurance. But I think more broadly, these contractors need to be treated as employees. They need to have bargaining rights as employees, and they need to have far greater wages and benefits.
Is that something that you see these big tech companies coming to the table with? They're coming, you know, with lots of other solutions, but that so far does not seem to be one of them.
Well, it is something I've seen movement on. For example, in Apple's case, I mean, Apple had announced a policy that all of their employees would be paid without question, even if they weren't coming in. And then they did not include originally the bus drivers and the janitors who were contractors. SEIU organized, and Apple then said, no, we are also going to pay the bus drivers and the janitors and recognize the importance of doing that. Now, they did the right thing, Apple, at the end of the day, but it shouldn't take that kind of organization. I think these are what I describe as the invisible workers in Silicon Valley, and they are, for all the talk of automation, there's still a lot of physical labor that's extraordinarily important. And our challenge in the 21st century is how do we make sure the gains of the technology revolution doesn't just go to people who can work remotely or code, but goes to all of the people who are contributing to keeping our economy running.
Are you considering, or has Congress considered, requiring hazard pay for these jobs?
I am. I've been working with Senator Warren. We're working on a plan. You know, if you think of this as a war footing, as the president has said, then where is our GI Bill for those who are on the front lines of this war? For not just the healthcare workers, who I have so much admiration for, but for the grocery clerks, for the drivers, for the truck drivers, for the warehouse workers, we ought to be compensating them. And I'm working with Senator Warren and others to come up with something that would meet the moment.
Congressman Ro Khanna represents Silicon Valley in the House of Representatives. And now for some related links. There's an interesting piece in ZDNet from last month about other countries who have asked the tech industry for a coordinated response to this pandemic. In London, apparently, a summit held in early March has been referred to as a digital Dunkirk, referring to the famous World War II battle in which small private ships and things like commercial ferries helped evacuate hundreds of thousands of Allied forces from Dunkirk, France. There's a movie. On a less inspiring note, Vox has a piece about how it is fantastic in many ways that tech billionaires are stepping up with big philanthropic efforts during this pandemic, but that it's still a very precarious position to be in if we have to rely on the kindness of billionaires and not the efficient operation of our government every time there's a crisis. It is not, as they say, a long-term plan. And it can also let those with the most dictate the terms of our response by way of their money. And of course, let us ignore the fact that, say, they or their companies don't pay a lot of taxes, or that Amazon warehouse workers had to organize and one got fired for asking for time to wash their hands at work, let alone hand sanitizer, masks, or hazard pay. And here's what else we're watching in tech. Zoom's CEO has been making the rounds to try to explain how the company screwed up so much on privacy and security. And Zoom hired Alex Stamos, former chief information security officer at Facebook, to advise it on cybersecurity. But on Wednesday, Google banned the use of Zoom on its company-owned devices. Side note, Google Hangouts is a competitor to Zoom, but still, that's bad news. I'm just going to go ahead and say one more time here that this would be the perfect time for Apple to release FaceTime for everyone. And finally, although Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey got a positive response for setting up that big charity fund on Tuesday, Twitter flatly announced to users of its app on Wednesday that it is now going to be sharing your advertising-related information with its business partners. This is stuff like the ad tracking identifier on your phone, which, as we have discussed already, includes location information, as well as whether you saw or interacted with ads. Previously, you could opt out of this. Now you can't. Twitter says this is so it can prove to advertisers that ads are working. It also shows that the pressure on the business model is only increasing. And that might have something to do with that deal from early March. You know, the one with the two activist private equity firms, Silver Lake and Elliott Management. The deal kept Jack Dorsey in his job as halftime CEO of Twitter, but it almost certainly involved, you know, plans to make some actual money. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.